What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan. We're live up at Rally House. Gold's still chatting with some listeners.
What's going on? Yeah, we're having a good time, man. We're having a good time. Everybody's excited for this playoff game.
Of course.
Coming up tomorrow, and again, we're at Rally House, which is the spot to get geared up for the postseason, whether you maybe didn't grab that hoodie from last year's Super Bowl, or you just want a new stocking cap, whatever it may be, this is the place to be. As we've said a few times, this is like one of the
huge.
It used to be obviously something else, and this location is just massive. Of course, we're focusing in on the Chiefs. It's playoff time, but whatever you're looking for, I'm staring at huge wall of KC Kerr gear.
I like this satin
Wizard retro.
Come on. That's sharp. Ooh, it's got a little tag
on
it.
Sale right now, Cody.
How much?
The retro Wizards gear is really the Wiz. Yeah, that stuff is really nice.
That one's sharp.
So we're going to be here till 2 o'clock. Still plenty of time. Maybe during your lunch break, stop on by. We'll hold back a few of these gift cards. We've given out a majority of them, but we'll hold back a few of them for some of you that maybe can make your way here during the lunch hour. Back in studio, we've got our good friend Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor over at Chiefs.si, kind enough to join us for the hour. What's going on, man? Are you someone that's big on the every year kind of got to get the new Super Bowl gear, or how do you approach it?
First of all, I've been to that rally house many times. If you would have just said, yeah, we're in the airplane hangar rally house, I would have known exactly where you were.
It's so big.
You know, the thing that the Chiefs...
That's going to be a drop.
Yeah, I wanted to stay out of the way of that one until Cody got that clean.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd like to keep my producer ear when I can. But yeah, the Chiefs have really spoiled us in this way of being like, well, you know, there was a time in which every AFC West piece of merchandise was a family heirloom because there weren't that many of them. Now, I think I've gotten the Super Bowl, like, beanie every year, and I think I've gotten at least one of the hats. I also have a very large head. You can clip that, too, if you want, Drew. I've got a big head, and so a lot of the snapbacks don't fit me at standard settings, so I got to be a little bit choosy, but I definitely have at least one thing from each Super Bowl for sure.
You know, I think that that's right. He gives me a hard time because my move has always been, and still will be, right here at Rally House. I buy Super Bowl gear. I'm no better or different than anyone else. I just buy it about a year later.
Yeah.
I am like, I'll just wait. It's just like, it still looks nice and new a year later. It's not like 5 years from now I can't wear it.
I'm running out, you know, the day after the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and I'm coming here immediately and hoping they're not out of a size or whatever, something like that.
I think we're all going to be golds this year if they win it all, because there has to be three-peat merch in the line, and I think that's going to get it going again. I just try to make sure for my own sake that I don't erase all of my memories from before Patrick Mahomes showed up here. I just said with a straight face, I think we'll all probably get in line for the three-peat merch if they pull that off. That's crazy! This is nonsense! Not even the Patriots were doing this!
No, this is not normal sports behavior.
No.
We should not take it for granted. Of course, our conversation with Briscoe is brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I think something that's not discussed enough about this game tomorrow, nationally, outside of KC, Jalen Watson's return.
Yep.
Like we know we know he's going to be back. I don't know if he's playing the same amount of snaps he would have been if he was healthy all year necessarily, but that is massive considering Nico Collins and the physicality that he presents.
It's massive. I don't remember if we talked about this exactly back in week 7, 8, 9, wherever it would have been. But there was a lot of talk, and I was, again, a lot on this station, some of it with you guys, some of it, you know, during the show at night, whatever. There was a lot of this conversation about, you know, what's going on with the pass rush. Like, why does the pass rush with all the same characters look so much worse than it did last year? And my answer at the time was Jalen Watson. And before that, L'Jarius Sneed, right? Because being able to build up your coverage that way does so much for your front four. It changes when and how you blitz. It changes when and how much time you have to get to the quarterback. And then obviously, when the ball does get out of the quarterback's hand, you have a better corner in position trying to make that throw fall incomplete. So on so many levels, like, it's a big deal that the Chiefs are getting back their number two corner. It's a big deal they're getting back a starting player on defense. But I think it is an order of magnitude bigger than even that because of the interconnected nature of all of this. Like, when the Chiefs defense has had its slight issues this year, it's still been a very good unit, but we watched Nazee Johnson be a problem, and we saw them try to shuffle him and Joshua Williams around, and I think we'll at least see Williams tomorrow still too, as they kind of get Watson up to speed. But now Trent McDuffie can go into the slot. You want to put Nico Collins in the slot? He's got 5 or 6 inches on Trent McDuffie, but I'd rather have McDuffie in there than Chris Roland Wallace or Shamari Connor or whoever else it may be. They get that flexibility back, and again, I think it was all the way to making Spags a little less predictable, because now the blitz levers can get pulled whenever he sees fit, not necessarily out of necessity because you're having trouble getting home and having trouble in coverage. I think it's a massive, massive deal. And maybe I'm just going to talk about it for a while. You know, the remote life happens, and perhaps my answer there was so electric that it blew up their equipment. Sorry, Drew, that's my fault. Just spitting pure fire.
You're good.
I'll tell you what, I talked so long that maybe they just decided to go hop up and go grab a snack or talk to some more listeners.
It's going to become the Briscoe Hour while they go and hang out, is what you're saying.
I guess. I mean, I know I have that fastball. I know my words per minute numbers are high. I know that my my talking endurance can get me through an entire hour. So I think Josh and Drew and Josh, your name should be first because you're on the show, and also it sounds like Drake and Josh. Yeah,
I was about to actually say the exact same thing.
Yeah, no, Drew and Josh. All right, hey, Cody and Gold, if you guys can hear us at any point, go ahead and take the rest of the day off. Enjoy Rally House.
we're going to try and get them reconnected here.
We're going to actually rebrand the show to Drew and Josh. I will just, in all seriousness, then, like, pick another defensive thing that I think this ultimately connects to because it is that big of a deal. I mentioned being able to move McDuffie back into the slot. I'm actually okay with Watson and Williams being your outside guys and McDuffie kicking back in there, especially if McDuffie is following Nico Collins. The Texans offensively this year came into this season with two really, really good wide receiving weapons, like, into the offseason. They left last season with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And still, their flashiest addition this offseason was to bring in Stephon Diggs, who has been out of the picture for so long that you kind of forget why they made that move. Their offensive line has issues everywhere except for left tackle. And even Laremy Tunsil, I think, had a couple of moments this year where he didn't look quite as much like the Laremy Tunsil that we've seen over the years. But the offensive line is not in a great place. The running game is not good, although Joe Mixon is, and I'm sure we'll continue to break that down as we go too. But when you have wide receiver two John Mechie, Xavier Hutchinson, like, Robert Woods is not, if he plays, is not a guy that I'm afraid of Watson or Williams or certainly McDuffie being matched up across from. They ended up trying to Stroud could use by having Collins and Dell and adding Diggs. Now they're down two of those guys, and it kind of feels like a one-man band. Maybe it's a two-man band, and it is Stroud to Collins. Maybe you could talk me up to four players on this offense, like, being real guys that you could kind of build a game plan around, one of them being Tunsil, one of them maybe being Mixon. But the Chiefs are getting healthier. This is the best. Also, with Watson coming back, this is the first time that Jalen Watson and Charles Omenihu will be on the field at the same time together. This is going to be the best version of the Chiefs defense I think we've seen all year. Maybe that doesn't come until the championship game, presuming they get there, which I am presuming. And then you have a better opponent that's going to make things all look a little bit tougher. I think there's a chance Jalen Watson comes back looking a little bit rusty. But if he looks like himself at all, this is the best top to bottom that the defensive roster has looked in 2024, 2025. The L'Jarius Sneed version's a different, you know, that they made that move. And also, I mean, driving in, I was hearing them talk about the long-term, short-term thing and going, quote, all in.
Yeah.
They could have tried to make it work to keep L'Jarius Sneed around for one more year, go for the three-peat. And they didn't. they still made the smart long-term move, and now they're going to pick, I think, 69th or something like that. And it's not just that it's the nice number. I think that's where they ended up. Somewhere right there, right at the very, very top of the second round. There's some shuffling with tiebreakers and stuff. But, Drew, the Chiefs did make a long-term move this offseason. Now they've cobbled together these patchwork things to cover up their injury weaknesses, and now they're the healthiest they've been all year. It's an incredible spot for them to be in, while the Texans offensively, and this to me, spoiler alert for the rest of the hour, the Texans to me just don't have the dogs to keep up with what the version of the Chiefs defense is that I think we're going to see. I think the Chiefs are better on both sides of the football by a pretty wide margin, which is an exciting place to be.
Speaking of incredible, we got the guys back.
Let's go! Well, listen, yeah, folks.
We just figured, Briscoe, that, you know, we would just go ahead. Since you were in studio, we'd just be done.
I think that's
literally what we said. You know what? Just take the day off.
You were kissing babies, shaking hands and shaking babies out there. Like, go ahead and, you know, roam rally. It's a big rally house. You could spend the rest of these next couple hours browsing around there. I'll head out at noon. You guys can take over again.
It was really weird. Cody started just singing to the whole store. In 2 minutes, we were off air.
I just started serenading everybody.
Yeah,
I just thought, you know what? It's divisional round weekend. From a football perspective, the Chiefs season doesn't even technically start till the AFC Championship game.
Exactly.
Maybe everyone would like a tune.
I think that's beautiful, and it really left me wondering, like, was my take so good that you guys were tired? Like, I considered that.
Yeah. I was like, out here, and you didn't even hear it. I was complimenting Spags as being the best defensive coordinator in the league and crediting him for figuring out a way to get the defense to win without Jalen Watson. And then Gold looks at me and he's like, stop talking. Nobody's listening.
Now, Gold does do that mid-segments other times.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that was my out to be able to just say it right there, you know, with no worries or anything. No, but like, let's get back to, I obviously, apologies guys for the connection problem there, but I think we're hopefully good to go. Alex Gould, Cody Tapp, Joshua Briscoe, Drew Nixon hanging out here on a Red Friday in Kansas City. I did catch when we were just reconnecting, though, Briscoe, you were talking about the defensively, the matchup there and where the Texans are at. And I do think, you know, if you're looking at the Texans' offense, I believe they have to run the ball to have any bit of success offensively in this game, because with Jalen Watson back, I think that isolates or at least negates somewhat what Nico Collins presents. Yeah. But the problem with that is, can Joe Mixon run on this defense? Can that offensive line of the Texans be good enough? I don't think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they need to try that, but I do not think it's going to work. I do not think the Chiefs are going to allow themselves to lose to the Joe Mixon game plan. They don't have, I mentioned this somewhere in the midst of the fog, I think, but they don't have a good running game. They have a running back who has improved it, and that's impressive because that's hard to do. Like, I'm kind of a long time, if not a card carrying member of the running backs don't matter club, a card carrying member of the, like, running backs matter less than you think club. So much of it is reliant on the offensive line and the running game as a scheme and what your coaches are asking for. So it's why you get a guy like Isaiah Pacheco. It's super late in the draft. It gives you production. Or Kareem Hunt off the couch, he comes in and saves your season. But Mixon has been a level raiser as an individual running back in the midst of a pretty poor offensive line and a pretty poor running game. That's really hard to do. I give him a ton of credit for that. But the only time the Chiefs' run defense has looked anything less than stellar was without Chris Jones on Christmas against the Steelers, and then in Week 18 when, you know, I was playing nose. So I do think that's worth the Texans trying. I think they could be abandoning that by, like, the second drive, though, if things go how I expect them to.
I also just, like, I mean, some of it is we always talk, like, quarterback matchup, and then Alex and I, once a year, we get into this in the playoffs, and we're like, we've done nothing but talk about, like, Stroud versus Mahomes or where that ranks for Mahomes, and then it's like Andy versus D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans is certainly not a bad coach. He's already proven that he is a capable NFL head coach. He got his team to a division win this year, although they took a step back. He made Stroud look really good his rookie year. But also, I think he's going to out-coach Andy in a playoff game. I don't see it. Like, some of it is I just don't see it. Some of it is they don't have the personnel.
Yes.
Like, there's only so much scheming you can do to be like, well, we can just give it to Nico Collins 1,000 times. You're like, well, that's harder now with Jalen Watson and everything else. But, like, I don't know if D'Amico stands out as being like a coach that I'm like, yeah, he'll be the one who diagnoses and break it down. If McVay was on the other side, if some of the other guys I think or some of the top coach in the league, I'd probably feel different.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on a bunch of that. And again, it does certainly end up being in part about the talent, but also think about the timing of all of this, where I'd buy stock in D'Amico Ryans if I was a team that needed a head coach and he was one of my options and I was going to build a franchise around him for the next 5 years.
Sure.
That's a perfectly fine bet. Absolutely. It's reasonable. He's in a good tier there. But Andy Reid has not only, of course, back-to-back Super Bowl runs and wins and all of this playoff experience, and he's been with this quarterback now for a very long time, and with so many of these key players are all on the same page on so many things. His coaching staff is very, very stable, and they just had basically a month to prepare for this. And I think D'Amico Ryans was rightfully, like, he was all about the Chargers until the second that game ended. And then you can begin to look ahead and figure out what you're going to attempt to do. I'll paraphrase a couple of things here. There's some just really good stuff over on the Athletic Football Show this week. Robert Mays just does a good job, and so he's one of the places that I go to kind of get like a trusted national perspective on the Chiefs and everything else, because a lot of places.
Oh, you mean versus like the ones where they're like the Texans could blow the Chiefs out, that kind of national perspective?
Yeah, I know he didn't coach in the NFL, but I usually take Robert Mays' word over Rex Ryan's typically, and that has served me pretty well. But he talked a lot about how the Texans, you know, like to put five guys up on the front of the up in the line there, and then you can see them bring five in those man coverage behind them situations. Okay, they're playing man coverage, they're bringing five, and they're trying to speed you up. They got quick pressure on Justin Herbert pretty consistently throughout that game, and that ended up being the thing that I think derailed them the most. But I also don't think that that's going to work against the Chiefs. There's the other side of the coin where the Chiefs defense also is fascinating to me as well. But the idea that the Chiefs are just going to see a bunch of man coverage and bring in five at Mahomes, I don't think is going to be the way to go. I think the thing we've seen defenses have some success with, the Lou Anarumo plan, if you will, is like make him look at eight defenders dropping back and rush your three, and maybe you bring your fourth every once in a while, but like really make Mahomes sort through the mess in the secondary and then see if he speeds himself up, or see if you can beat Juwan Taylor even though you're only rushing three, right? I don't think D'Amico Ryans wants to work that way. He wants to bring pressure and play man. And with the number of weapons the Chiefs offense suddenly have, with the offensive line, I think, being in a place where it can handle some of that while Mahomes plays, you know, quintessentially fast football, I feel pretty good about the D'Amico Ryans style that worked against the Chargers not being as fruitful against the Chiefs.
Well, and then how about Patrick Mahomes? We all know that he's willing to be a little more mobile in the postseason.
Yeah.
We've seen some of the great playoff moments involve him using his feet, using his legs, whether it's the Tennessee game, the Eagles in the Super Bowl, we can go on and on and on. I feel like that's the other factor that hasn't been discussed enough outside of Kansas City, that, all right, the Texans and the Chiefs played a few weeks ago, but Mahomes is going to be more willing to go risk his body, if you will, than he was a month ago. He's talked openly about that, so it would not surprise me if we – I don't think he's going to lead the team in rushing. That would be a shock, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with 25 yards rushing in a key, you know, 8-yard, 10-yard scramble in a moment that they got to have it.
I think – I can't remember when they were, but I think there's at least one, maybe a couple of playoff games where he has led the team in rushing, right? Like, I actually don't –
oh, yeah.
I don't think that's crazy, especially with the spread of these three running backs. But, no, you're 100% right. It goes under-discussed every week. I haven't looked at the lines, but, like, there was a –
22, 23 and a half.
That feels right.
Rushing yards, 12 and a half, I think, longest run.
There was, like, a good playoff run and maybe even a couple of years where the books just did not catch up to the fact that he was doing that, and that was great. That number seems about right, so I'm not going to liquidate anything to go put money on that. But you're right, and it's another reason that playing man is tough unless you're going to leave somebody in to spy Mahomes. And when the legs of Patrick Mahomes become a weapon in this offense, it's another thing to defend that typically you're not thinking about. Now, again, he scrambles all the time. We have a Rolodex of a dozen key right. game-changing runs from Mahomes. But he's not Josh Allen. He's not Lamar Jackson. And I don't think they're going to have him do that. He may actually end up with a couple designed runs throughout the playoffs, potentially. The, you know, stuff that really tricky Andy Reid stuff, right? Not like, oh yes, the Patrick Mahomes running game is a part of the plan the next potentially three games. But it's ultimately going to be letting the defense kind of get sucked away from him. And then if there's space in the middle of the field for him to take off, or if he's already on the move towards the sidelines, that is a deadly thing. And it's got to be so bleeping infuriating for defenses, because imagine successfully covering Travis Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown. And you get a little bit of pressure, you flush him out of the pocket, and oops, it's a 14-yard run. That's brutal.
Speaking of liquidation of assets, I forgot to ask, man. How'd you end up the other night at the in-between game at the Tap House?
It went poorly. That was a...
I was expecting you to...
inviting you over just to take your money. And yeah, I said, that was not what this was.
I was hoping that people just absolutely just took all the money from the house. That's what I was hoping. The house being Cody in this example. Like, I was hoping you guys made him regret hosting the game, but it sounds like it was the opposite.
Yeah, I've fared pretty well, historically speaking, in like poker nights and stuff where we're like playing a game that I do know the rules of. And the fact that Cody did kind of keep changing a lot of the rules as I lost more and more money.
Wow.
That is, you know, now that you mention it, Gold, that is something that I would like to go ahead and get a booth review on. it was
go back and see.
I'd like to call New York. Yeah, I'd like to see if we could get at least a quick little check there. Yeah, it was
2 minute warning, I'm afraid. Sorry, too late.
It was
It was a
painful day, but you know, maybe next year I'll figure out a way to cheat if I get the invite. I don't know. I'm gonna have to come in with, I guess I could do counterfeit bills. You guys aren't really checking those at the time. I'll figure out.
No, I don't have like the marker.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Cody did, if, I don't know if you guys have heard before. But,
I did work at a
he
bank.
Did work at a bank before. So you might actually have one of those pins or whatever.
Start bringing the pins to the game.
That's why you sniffed every bill for 15 seconds. That makes sense.
We'll get to the trash of the day a little bit later. Normally we'd do that right now, but yeah, Cody, you were about to say it as well. Jeremy Fowler just put out minutes ago that Joe Tooney will start at left tackle. That is the plan, per sources. DJ Humphreys is healthy, but Tooney, he goes on to say, flourished in a tackle relief while Humphreys was hurt, so Chiefs prepared to ride the hot hand.
Your right choice.
Your reaction to that, guys, because, yeah, I think it absolutely is the right choice. I know Andy didn't need to publicly say anything this week and tip his hand or anything, but, man, oh, man, we saw Joe Tooney play this exact same Texans team, on the defensive line at least, and we all know he held up well. Why would I go back to DJ Humphreys? I know that was plan A. I know that was their, you know, plan, I should say, really it was plan C or
yes.
D, but it became plan A.
Josh, it was the plan above Tooney originally,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean plans change.
So I'm actually relieved to see this news, guys, because that was the only way I was going to be a little nervous tomorrow, is if you told me DJ Humphreys was starting.
I'm a little surprised, honestly. I was given the like 60-40 split in favor of them rolling with Humphreys there. Obviously, whatever they've been doing this week is the thing that they were going to do. Like when Andy said, you know, they're going to rotate or whatever, I assume that meant some like an 80-20 split at most. But I figured that was probably to get Humphreys reps next to Tooney rather than just like more time for Tooney being on the left side and left tackle in practice. I don't know. I'm left a little bit concerned because I do think the offense was a little bit different with Tooney, and I do think that Caliendo is just sort of getting like the benefit of nobody paying attention to him by the way that his time at guard there went. So I'm not shocked. I've been saying all week that I wouldn't be surprised if they went either direction. I really do assume it was a pretty close call there. Ultimately, Humphreys not being able to be on the field playing with Tooney in that back stretch of the season, probably the thing that ends up tilting the scales. I don't think Tooney was outrageously better than Humphreys, and I think Tooney is outrageously better than Caliendo, but I have to assume that whatever they're doing tomorrow is the thing that they're doing for the entire playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, at what point, why would you switch now? I actually think the undersold probably part of how they ended up making this is they probably went back and watched some Texans tape.
Yeah.
He went against Will Anderson. He went against Danielle Hunter. He did fine. Like, that would make it easier for me. If Joe Tooney had struggled in those, or Mike Caliendo, who was not great, mm-hmm. admittedly not great, but if he was just, like, as bad at left guard as they were previously at left tackle, they maybe do something different. I think they may be called. This is the safe play. This is the way safe play. And, Briscoe, when you say their offense is different, I assume what you're referring to is what we all notice, which is they're getting rid of the ball faster, time to throw is down, how quickly they're throwing the ball. I don't care as much about them doing that when they have the talent to do it. They have the talent to do it. Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Pirine has become a factor in the offense, and DeAndre Hopkins and Kelce, like, they actually have the personnel to say, what if we got the ball out in 2.5 seconds and then just let them run? For the first time probably in 2 years, they've got the personnel for it. So, like, I guess I don't care that fundamentally that's how they've changed the way they play offense.
Right, and then also I hated the notion of like, well, you know, they can have the Joe Tooney thing in their back pocket. You know, they could start with DJ Humphries, and then if it goes bad, they could just go back to what worked. Why? It's the playoffs. Why would I start with something that might not work?
Yeah.
Why would I have done that?
And then like, hoping that it does. But if it doesn't, I'll go to Tooney. Like, I don't know.
Go with the guy that deep down we know at this point in time is providing better play, even if that wasn't your initial plan when you signed DJ Humphries. So I truly am like relieved that this is against, according to Jeremy Fowler. No reason to believe that won't be accurate. That
he's pretty well
Joe Tooney will be the left tackle. I would have been a little nervous. And I think, you know, the Texans too, they had already seen Joe Tooney play left tackle. So this notion of that you were going to catch them by surprise or something by throwing Joe Tooney in there in the third drive of the game, that wasn't part of the equation either.
Yeah, I think there is still a little bit of an unknown. Like, I know we've seen Tooney and Caliendo get through and against this specific team. I do think that matters. And to Cody's point about the sped-up offense and the pass catchers, I think that Hollywood being back for the first Texans game was the biggest deal for the offense because it does allow you to start seeing what that might look like. Obviously, he didn't get an enormous workload in either of the games he was out there in. But then against Pittsburgh, I am thinking about a very good defensive tackle. So I don't know that this is going to happen, persistently throughout the entire playoff push. But Cam Hayward gave Mike Caliendo a very bad time for the entirety of that football game,
yep.
Which gives me just a little bit of pause. And the other thing, and the reason that I ultimately, again, 60-40, but that I was thinking that they would end up giving the nod to Humphries, unless he had a bad week in practice or something, which I guess is possible. But if they were going to give the nod to Humphries, I think it would have been because they want to make sure they can still do everything they want to do. You can get through with this quick game life with Tooney. Can you drop back and pass it and wait for a development downfield with Tooney and Caliendo? And I think the Chiefs are telling us now that they believe they can. It may be a little bit different, and I think there's reason to believe they still can do that. And I hope that by having Tooney play left tackle, and again, we got the biggest downgrade that football has to offer at left guard, just by nature of who's starting there, and hopefully Caliendo is fine. But the shift there, I hope, means they believe they can run everything they would like to run for perhaps the first time this season, because the entire year was viewed through the kaleidoscope of the left tackle play. That there was always enough of an issue there that it became a little bit difficult to see the offense at what we thought might be full strength or full speed. I was more optimistic about Humphries Tooney letting them get to that point in the playoffs, but I also assume that the Chiefs have probably made the right call by seeing these guys in practice when this week, like, media has been shuffled out of there before stretching has been done. So we have very little info to go on. I'm sure Tooney will be fine against the Texans, and I assume we're going to see him start all the way to the Super Bowl.
We continue broadcasting live here at Rally House off of Berry Road. Come on by till 2 o'clock today. Get geared up for the postseason, which, of course, begins at 3:30 tomorrow against the Texans. That game right here on 96.5 The Fan. But we have a couple more gift cards to hand out as well if you stop by before the end of the show. Perfect time, lunch hour beginning for a lot of you here on a Red Friday in KC. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon back in studio, along with Joshua Briscoe. He's going to stick with us for the next half hour as well. During the Chiefs Red Half Hour, I want to get back into some other players that we may not be as confident in, which including one name we would never say we're not confident in typically, but that might not be the case this go around. We'll tell you why that is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. It's all about the Chiefs here on a Red Friday in KC on 96.5 The Fan. We are broadcasting live from Rally House right by AMC Theaters. For those of you up north, Berrywoods Crossing off of I-29 and Berry Road. Perfect time to stop in. It's the only place in Kansas City with the best selection of Chiefs gear to shop, and that's Rally House. One of the coolest things, of course, about Rally House is they're always bringing in new gear for the kingdom, right? Which means you're going to see new merch every time you visit a store or just shop online at rallyhouse.com. And we're up north till 2 o'clock today. We still have a couple gift cards with us as well, so be sure to say hello for those of you that are up in the Northland as we get set for Chiefs and Texans. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you here at Rally House. We've got Drew producing the show back in studio. Also, Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor over on ChiefsOnSI.com, editor-in-chief, does a great job covering the team. I don't know, where you didn't partake in the cheeseburger bar that Andy Reid provided to longtime Chiefs beat writer Adam Teicher yesterday, did you? I didn't know if you gave us a review on that cheeseburger bar.
No, I didn't. In fact, I ended up basically just like retweeting all angles of that moment that made the timeline like I was a Taylor Swift fan account. Like I was just like, well, look at this angle. This angle's different. Now look at here. You can see Andy Reid hand tights for the football. So no, I did not get to taste the burgers, but I am a longtime diehard Adam Teicher fan. And I feel like this is a good moment for anyone in Kansas City who maybe still inaccurately views him as simply a grumpy old man. He is a grumpy old man, but he's much more than that as well. I love Adam Teicher very much.
All right, so let's get back into the Chiefs. We were just talking about confidence level in Joe Tooney, obviously, and I think, you know, more confident in him than DJ Humphries at left tackle. If you're just tuning in and you missed the last segment, Jeremy Fowler reporting Joe Tooney is expected to start at left tackle for the Chiefs tomorrow. What about another player that I typically come postseason would never even have suggested that somebody wouldn't be confident? And I'm talking about the kicker. I'm talking about Harrison Butker. We had Danan Hughes on the show yesterday, and he's like, no, I'm still very, very confident in Harrison Butker. Where are you guys at on this? Because I think it's very evident that they've now acknowledged that his power maybe is starting to come back, but meaning when they brought him back, the power wasn't all the way back. The accuracy maybe wasn't there. Is the knee healed? Where are you guys at? Like, if he's stepping out for a 55-yarder, do they give him the chance to kick?
No. No, they don't. Not unless it's a game winner. Not unless it is zero time remaining in a tie game and they got to kick it or throw a 45-yard Hail Mary. I wouldn't. I know, like, I think everyone is like, it's fine because, like, a history of Harrison Butker being one of the single best playoff performers for Kansas City, honestly. But also, he's not right, and they rushed him back. And I think they admitted that without admitting it by having Dave Tobe, who's a pretty good truth teller at the podium, saying it'll be a few weeks, and then they let him kick 3 days later, and he's looked off since. And I know everyone's talking about, well, the rest will do him good. I'm like, well, then why did they rush him back? The rest won't do him good. They wanted him kicking. If there's a player that actually is hurt by having 2 weeks off, it's Harrison Butker. So I don't think he's a bad kicker by any means, but if you're telling me a 51-yarder is on the line in the second quarter and it's to, like, stabilize the game a little bit, no, I don't feel great right now until he proves otherwise.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. I think it's an interesting point, Cody, about how Tobe talking on Wednesday was talking about all the kicking that Butker has done, not all of the resting that he did throughout that process. I think the confidence that you earned in Butker, or that Butker earned from Kansas City, came from seeing him do it with remarkable consistency, with great range over many years and a bunch of clutch moments. He's earned all of that, but what we've seen from him most recently hasn't really looked like that guy. I am not soothsaying. I am not predicting the end for Butker because immediately that this surgery just like ended his career and he's going to be this version of himself the rest of the way. I don't know if it's going to end up being a long-term impact thing for him one way or the other. And on some level, they obviously hope that would benefit him by getting that meniscus trimmed up and everything. But at this point, I think you have to acknowledge that the kicker we've seen post-knee surgery, it's, you know, air quotes here, mild knee surgery, if there is such a thing,
right.
The guy that we've seen back from that has not been Harrison Butker in any way other than his name and his number. Like, so I think that the Chiefs, in the moment of having to say, we have a 55-yarder to win the Super Bowl or to advance to the AFC Championship game or whatever it may be, I think they're still going to send him out in most of the situations they would have sent him out in previously. But I think you feel okay about him getting a shot at a 62-yarder here and there. And I can't even imagine that right now.
No, and we know throughout this dynasty run, the reason why we're able to talk about a three-peat in large part is because of some of these massive kicks he's been able to make. I'm with both of you that, hey, if they're, you know, I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but let's just say it did. If they're in a spot, heck, let's just say before halftime for the sake of conversation, you know, it's one thing when there's 5 seconds on the clock before half, will they send him out there for a 58-yarder? Yeah, I'm sure. Will they do that, as you were saying, Cody? There's 6 minutes to go in the game. They can make it a two-possession game, and it's a 58-yarder, or are they going to say, oh, we'll roll the dice on fourth and two instead? One, I kind of want them to do that anyway.
Yes.
But I think
it's
more,
actually kind of a weird side benefit.
I think they would be more likely to go for it right now. But I also think we have to be careful of, like, I don't suddenly think I'm as – my confidence is anywhere near, if I were a Ravens fan, where Justin Tucker's makes kick after kick after kick this season. I'm not anywhere near that level, so I think it'll all be all right. I wonder if he's just got a bad habit as well now, guys, where he's used to having that, as someone even said on the text line, you know, the kicking style where he's using that knee that was a problem, and now that just became kind of how he was kicking, and it's maybe tough to adjust back.
It's a rhythm game.
Well, and
it's a rhythm thing.
Tobe didn't seem to have a problem with any of that stuff, which I continued also to wonder about, like, is this going to actually, is this causing this problem? Are you doing this to alleviate this problem? To your point on Tucker, I would feel better, though, actually, if Butker never missed time due to an injury and he just had this weird stretch of, like, 4 weeks where he was a little wild. I would feel pretty good about, like, oh, it's a mental thing or it's something mechanical that he'll figure out in time for the playoffs. If he's not able to feel and kick like himself because his knee is still doing something he's not expecting it to do, that to me doesn't have a short-term answer, and that concerns me.
I guess, you know, and it's all just like it's relative, right? Like, I worry about Butker far below left tackle, but now maybe less-ish.
I don't think it's a tomorrow problem. I think this is an AFC title game problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's a problem at all.
Although, right? In fairness, it's so funny because, like, we look back, because when Butker went down, we're like, well, they were undefeated. We're like, well, we know the way they're going to lose a game, and it's going to be, you know, Matthew Wright shanking one to the left on a 42-yarder, and the fill-in kickers were fine. That wasn't the problem at all. And now I'm getting into the playoffs, and I'm starting to worry about this. It's like, this is also just what it's like to not just to cover a team that is winning back-to-back Super Bowls or all the other things. They don't have, other than left tackle, and for a while what was corner, they don't have any, like, glaring weakness. Left tackle has been mostly it. It's like, other than that, they are just kind of solid everywhere. So, like, I have to put my concern somewhere because the punt fine, the defensive line's good, the corners are good, the safeties are good, the wide receivers are probably better than they've been in years, honestly. Just based on the way the end of this season roster is going to shake out, better it's been in a long time. Because that's the whole thing. It's like, Briscoe, earlier we were like, Gold and I were kind of going back and forth about, like, players that, you know, like, would be the silent hero, like MVS last year. And I gave Samaje Perine, he mentioned Noah Gray. But the truth is, because the way the wide receiver setup is, it just won't be Hollywood or it won't be Hopkins, or it will to a point, but Xavier Worthy will continue to just be, like, better and better,
right,
as he's been the last 6 weeks of the season. And all of a sudden you'd be like, my God, Xavier Worthy had 110 and a touchdown and a playoff win? Damn. well, now what are teams going to do? Because, like, that's probably the more likely answer. It's just hard for me to say he'd be a surprise one, that's all.
Well, yeah, that, you know, this is always sort of a challenge, I think, for people like us doing, like, who's the player you're not thinking of who will have an impact in the playoffs? It's like, man, I don't know. We just talked about Mike Caliendo for 10 minutes. Like, I think I know every – no player will surprise me here because I know who all these guys are. It's just this is our day, every day, all the time. But I think that the thing that's indicative of is the fact that there is like this reasonably long list of answers to these questions of who could be the guy that has the big game. It doesn't have to be Kelsey or Hopkins or Worthy or Hollywood or Hunt or Pacheco or P. Ryan. Or there is such an ability here for the Chiefs to potentially either spread the ball around week to week or pick their favorite matchup week to week. The number of options, it could be a quote surprise by just not, like, to your point, not being Travis Kelce and then seeing who else steps up here. But I think it's all in a pretty logical trajectory of, yeah, this is what Xavier Worthy's been doing for weeks now. This is the path that he's been on. And so it's not surprising he has a big game.
Yeah, Rashee Rice was good in the postseason. The only hesitation I have, and I like, it's so hard because it doesn't actually feel like a thing that affects any Chiefs players anymore. Maybe Mahomes counteracts this, and I just didn't realize it this whole time, is that in the NFL, there are still players who play better in the postseason and play worse in the postseason when the lights are brightest. Chris Jones plays better. Frank Clark played better. Patrick Mahomes played better. Whatever, right? It's like, that's the only thing I don't know about Hollywood Brown, or I don't know about Xavier Worthy. I'm like, are you guys good when, like, the lights are on? Like, when they're bright, and, like, everyone's paying attention, and it doesn't matter? And maybe being a Chiefs fan, like, maybe being a Chiefs player, it affects you less now, because literally you just take, like, haymakers from every team for 17
Yeah, but you have so many guys to lean on, though, right? I mean, that's the other part of this. I mean, it's, yes, Worthy has been a big part of this team, and he's a rookie, but he was asked if he was nervous earlier in the week, and he shrugged it off right away.
He
chuckled. He's like, nah, I'll be fine. But also, when you have Andy Reid and Spags and Kelce and Jones and Mahomes, we can go on and on, guys that have playoff or Super Bowl experience, I think there's got to be just way less pressure versus, let's just say, if, like, C.J. Stroud was all of a sudden.
Yeah, their whole team is like, Will Anderson, can you play in the
None of them have been in any. I mean, this game in Texans franchise history is still just as big as any other game they've had, right? Because they haven't gotten past the divisional title game.
Especially when they're trying to knock off a team going for back-to-back titles. Probably is the biggest game in their team's history. I mean, what were the other ones? Matt Schaub in a divisional round?
I was on. It's funny you said that, because I was on in Houston yesterday. We've all been doing these interviews or whatever for playoff time. And they were the topic right before I hopped on. They were saying, is C.J. Stroud the best quarterback in Texans history? They obviously had Deshaun Watson before, and when he was with them, he was a legitimate quarterback, believe it or not. I know that's crazy to think now, but he was at one point.
I'll just tell you right now, if you're starting that conversation, I just do yourself a favor and not bring up Deshaun Watson for lots of reasons, many of which that he's a terrible human being, but
he was the best,
really good.
He was the best Texans quarterback.
He was really good.
They've only been around since the early 2000s. But
So probably Deshaun Watson. Matt Schaub's probably second.
It really
it's
is.
Not David Carr.
No, I mean, I'm looking.
Not Davis Mills.
Deshaun Watson made, like, what, three straight Pro Bowls in years two through four there.
He's the answer, by the way, still, I think.
I think you're right, even though they were terrible that last year, and then something else happened, and then, that's weird. He looks like he's bad at football now. I'm just looking at his Pro Football reference page. Strange.
I think that, not to go too off topic, I think the Cleveland Browns players I think they're out on Watson. I can't remember who it was. Was it Denzel Ward? Somebody yesterday was quoted, and it sure sounds like the team's finally, and players are like, okay, we're out on Deshaun Watson. We're ready to move on. I think it was Denzel Ward saying, like, they got to find stability at quarterback and all this, which you're like, no kidding. But it's a big deal when a player says that publicly.
Can I make a late push for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
What did he do in Houston, though? Like, what did he do when he was there?
He started like 20 games. He barely was.
Did he really? That's still more than I would have guessed. I thought he would have had maybe one miraculous season. Was he there for a couple years?
If I remember right, guys, TJ Yates.
Case Keenum.
If I remember, guys, TJ Yates won a playoff game for them against, ironically, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, TJ Yates.
God, your team's cursed.
If you remember
they're
that.
Losing playoff games to TJ Yates in Cincinnati?
Andy Dalton days, baby.
Like Carson Palmer?
No, that was Andy. This is like 2010, 2011. This is when that was the Texans' first ever play. The Texans won a playoff game in my lifetime sooner than the Cincinnati Bengals did.
Anytime, oh my God. Anytime, that's bad.
They also,
anytime
hey, in you fairness, like, look, In fairness, Drew, they also won one in my lifetime before the Kansas City Chiefs did.
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
That's absolutely true.
It's gone It's gone the other way since, but yes. That is also true.
Anytime
I look at like old rosters, I'm just reminded of the guys that I thought were going to be good. Like, I kind of thought Ryan Mallett had it. I kind of thought Ryan Mallett might have something. He didn't, it turns out.
R.I.P.
He really didn't have it.
He did.
T.J. Yates winning a playoff game. This is goes back to this whole thing, and I know that we're excited because the Chiefs finally play a playoff game, and it matters. I am so annoyed at the NFL for that seventh playoff team because it is meaningless. They're now 1-9 in those games, losing by an average of 14 points, and teams like the Steelers can lose four in a row, and Denver can still get in. Denver's playing bad football the final 2 weeks, could still play against backups, and week 18 to make the playoffs. I wish they had to actually win in the final week to do something. It's like, I just... Too much dead weight at the bottom of that.
They would have just. I mean, Sean Payton. Just ask him. They would have. I mean, they would have beaten the
That's
Chiefs
right.
starters in week
That's
18.
Right.
They would have beaten the Chiefs this week. In fact, the messed up thing is they would have beaten anybody else last week too. According to Sean Payton.
I'm glad you also heard that comment because
everybody. I mean, it's
fake laughable. Tough guy. It'd be like if I, you know, that's the same thing as when I constantly threatened Bill Romanowski. Let's just be honest. He was never gonna fight me. So me saying I'll kick your ass, Bill. I'll make you cry or whatever. It didn't matter. He would have murdered me, probably, but I knew he was never going to fight me, so it didn't matter.
I think he's too busy fighting the federal government right now with that $20 million or allegedly or whatever it is.
I wish I had $20 million to owe the government.
Tax
you know?
Evasion.
I thought it was interesting, guys. Dan Patrick, I think, talked about this on yesterday's show, are people exhausted of the Kansas City Chiefs so much that they're vehemently ignoring the history that actually is potentially going to be done this year. They're so obsessed with hating the Chiefs because they're sick and tired of them, they aren't even willing to recognize what's hitting them right in the face, and that's a potential for the first time ever seeing a three-peat champion.
Absolutely, Drew. Yeah, 100%. This will sound like a whining in Kansas City kind of thing if you weren't a Chiefs fan, but I do think it's accurate to say the Chiefs are the most disrespected dynasty and will potentially be the only, if they complete this, that they will be the only three-peat, obviously, in NFL history, and they put themselves in an elite category in all of sports, they'll be disrespected still at that point in time. I think it's a real thing, and it's because people are sick of them winning, and like this happened with the Patriots as well. But I think even before they, how quickly it happened is what's surprising. Like, the Patriots took 2 decades for it to get to that point, or at least, you know, 10 years into it. We're not even a decade into this run, and 2 years in, 3 years in, people were sick of them.
Like Greg Jennings, sounds like.
Yeah, can we hear that? Because
I've got
Greg Jennings was on FS1 yesterday, and I don't know, either he is not all that intelligent, or he's a complete phony and doesn't believe anything he's saying. One of the two things happened with what he said yesterday. Listen to this.
To me, it's more obvious that they would lose this game. Brew, do you remember what type of team they played last year in the postseason, their first game?
Breakdancers.
Yeah, Houston don't have breakdancers.
That's true.
Not any breakdancers. Look, they've gotten blown out only Houston this year twice by top 10 caliber offensive scoring teams.
So the Ravens did it, and I don't even remember who.
The Vikings.
Minnesota. Vikings. Minnesota. Okay.
The Vikings. This is not, you've said this all season long. This is not who the Chiefs are. They don't blow teams out. Everybody wants to see the Chiefs blow teams out. It's not how we win games. Have you not said that all season long?
Yeah, that's 100%
true. It's not happening this weekend. The Houston Texans will go into Arrowhead, and they will compete. And
great
hopefully
take.
Hopefully for your sake, the Kansas City Chiefs don't get blown up.
Man, I hadn't heard that.
That's a little broad.
The Chiefs hopefully won't get blown out. Look, if you want to pick the Chiefs
for
to lose, I'll still be like, I would still be like, okay, Mahomes has never lost a divisional round, yada, yada. But like to then say they're getting blown out, like I said, you don't believe it most likely, or you're just not all that intelligent, Greg Jennings. I'm serious. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but is it 5 or 6 games, maybe less, where Mahomes has lost by more than one score?
Yeah, it's not very
bad. I mean, he doesn't get blown out. So what a ludicrous take.
And like based in nothing in particular. there was I kind of kept waiting for like what's the hook going to be here, Greg? what are you building this on? And as the argument got less and less built, you could hear some of the early active listening noises from Nick Wright. They're going,
For him to say the Texans are going to compete, great take. Yeah.
That's when you could tell that he was ready to move on.
Because someone on the text line said, guess you guys don't watch that show. Jennings picked the Texans to win the Super Bowl this year, so he kind of has to pick them. No, I do not watch that show.
I mean, he also doesn't.
Also, by opinions can change. What if they going to send him to the gulag if for some reason he sticks with the Texans now? You're allowed to have a different opinion based on 18 change. Weeks of evidence.
Because Gold, you're on the Rams. I don't think you were on the Rams as much as you are now at the beginning of the year.
Actually, he was on them earlier.
I had them in the NFC title game, but I had him losing to the Niners in the NFC title game.
But as we started the play, he didn't hang on to the Niners forever.
Correct.
When the playoffs started before the season, I had the Packers in the NFC title game. Had them in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. When the playoffs started, we all had these conversations. I said they're losing this weekend. I didn't, no one forces you to stick with your preseason pick.
He doesn't believe what he's saying. That's the worst, by the way. Like we all have bad take. I can't stand when people say stuff. They don't even believe it. It drives me crazy, but,
That's what makes you the best radio host in the world, Alex Gold.
The hell? I'm right here. I invited you to. You've been to my home. You've never been to Alex's place.
Hey, Cody, maybe I was saying something I didn't entirely believe. Who's to say?
Jeez. That's a good follow-up.
Damn, that's a good point.
Oh. Wow, that's a deep thought right there.
All right, Skip really Bayless.
Deep. Whoa.
I will not be compared to Skip Bayless myself, for a number of reasons.
I think everyone should bring the level of defense to any argument, like that guy arguing about whether or not he's a witch in that Wicked meme.
Yeah. Oh.
She's a witch, bro! I feel like that's everybody. That's how every energy you should bring to arguments.
That's 95% of sports television.
It really is, honestly. We can have a reasoned conversation. Do I think the Texans can keep this game close?
Yeah, yes. You can pick the Texans to win. That's not crazy. It's just the blowout part.
I think there's a 0.001% chance the Chiefs get their ass kicked. Okay, like lose? Mm-hmm. Okay, we can put a percentage on it. Get run out of the building by Houston, their own building by Houston, as a two-time defending Super Bowl champ, and that this team, I think, is on par talent-wise with last year's team. Because that's what we were doing yesterday, Briscoe. Golden, I asked a question. If these two teams faced each other, it's Chiefs versus Chiefs. Last year's divisional round Chiefs at this time, this year's divisional round Chiefs at this time. Who do you think would be favored? Games at Arrowhead,
Boy, that's a fun question. The first face that shows up is L'Jarius Sneed, but then the second face that shows up is Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So that seems like a bit of a wash. Yeah, it might. I think last year's team would be favored, which is insane because they lost like five more games or four more games, I guess. But yep. I would probably bet on this year's team because I think, and this is dangerous, but I believe this wholeheartedly, unlike Greg Jennings. Something I actually genuinely believe, even though it's a little bit of a take. I think the Chiefs offense that we see in the playoffs is going to be the best version of the offense we've seen all year. I don't even think that's necessarily a hot take.
No, I'm with you. 100. Yeah.
Obviously, totally. Rashee Rice was a huge, huge part, but losing you essentially replace Rice with Hopkins and the experience of Xavier Worthy and the time of all these guys to gel together and everything. I really think that we're going to see them look, again, I'm a little bit, the left side of the offensive line remains a question. We have to acknowledge that. But I think that this is going to be like a pretty smooth operation for really the first time, not just in a year, perhaps the first time in 2 years.
No, offensively, totally on the same page. I believe that. I think, whether it's just the Kelce discussion we had earlier and he looks like a Hall of Fame tight end again, or it's just that suddenly they cut loose DeAndre Hopkins. We talked with you throughout the last month or so, Briscoe, about snap count stuff and, are they holding him back and all that. I think D-Hop will be unleashed a little bit, and if not, it's like you said, then you still have Hollywood Brown. That's part of the equation. There's a really tough team the Chiefs are offensively to match up with. They're so good also of – I can't remember. I think it was the defensive coordinator of the Texans this week. He said they're great at being – uncoverable. Like they'll have it matched up, but it's whether it's Kelce finding the soft spot in the zone. He says this group is better at that than anybody else in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think it's very accurate. All right, you mentioned just big things. Look, when you have Dustin Colquitt banging the drum, it's a big game too, guys. It's a big game. Who's doing the halftime thing, Cody? Normally you're
big
this
boy.
TMZ
big boy.
Scooper on the on the halftime show.
I gave them one scoop about who was singing the national anthem, and they dismissed it like it meant nothing. And then I've Did you know it was going to be big boy days ago? Yes.
Why didn't you say anything?
Because you guys don't care when I tell you those things.
Why didn't you say anything on the show?
Because the last time I told you guys something on the air, everyone acts like I'm the jerk for having.
It seems like a great time to go get another beer at that a 5 minute portion.
You don't want to see Big Boy?
That seems like a great time to go get a beer. Yeah.
Gold not really caring for Big Boy is the least surprising thing I've heard today.
I mean, I kind of want to see Big Boy. What sounds like?
I saw his name pop up on Twitter that it was reported he was performing. I was like, oh, nice. They got Big Boy on. All right.
It's a good
gig. Will that get you the Arrowhead, Drew? Will that get you? Will Big Boy get you the Arrowhead?
No.
Okay. All right. Briscoe, we appreciate you stepping in, man. And obviously, for a while there, it looked like maybe you're going to have to do the rest of the show.
We were just going to take off.
I will be sending a very strongly worded email to Spec. I will be listing off a long list of demands, and you guys might not have heard it.
He was wanting to rename the show.
There's a little grassroots movement for Drew and Josh. It sounds like Drake and Josh, but it's me and Drew.
there you go.
Are really leaning into anybody who's like about Drew's age.
Yeah, really, exactly.
Josh references.
Oh my goodness! All right, he's Joshua Briscoe from Chiefs on SI. He's our Chiefs contributor. He joins us every Friday throughout this season. We continue to broadcast live from Rally House up here, North Kansas City, up at Berry Road crossing, off I-29 and Berry Road to be particular. I know, understand. Someone's going to text him like, we're not in North Kansas City. You get the point. We're in North
You're
Kansas.
You're in the Northland in Kansas City.
That's right. I already could sense the text
Berry
coming.
Berry Road and I-29.
I could sense the text coming.
Get back to Olathe, Kansas, boy.
Overland Park. Okay. All right. Hey. Now this is the place to go for your gear this weekend and throughout the playoff run. 16 area locations, also online at rallyhouse.com. Up next, we'll get you what's trending around sports and talk a little bit more about the quarterbacks we're going to see this entire weekend in the NFL.